So when Roger invited me to speak on the 4th of July, before he invited me, we were catching up a little bit, and he mentioned that the air conditioning wasn't working. And so I thought, oh yeah, the 4th of July, it's going to be hot. This is going to test my faith, and maybe I'll lose a few pounds. But the air conditioning is working, and it's a cool weekend, so why does it work out better than we can possibly imagine? Unlike most of the talks I give, I actually wrote this all out, and we'll see if I can actually stick to it or not, but I called it Gardening Theory and the Cause of Miracles, because I wanted to do a play on the Course in Miracles, because I love the Course in Miracles, at least one thing that I always remember from it. And that didn't work too well. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll call it God's Delays or Not God's Denials. And I don't know. Then I thought, freedom's just another word for nothing left to fear. That didn't work. And then I realized I wanted to give some substantial something that we could all use to get through whatever we need to get through in life and to celebrate whatever we need to celebrate. And the same technique seems to work for both things. And it helped me over the years to overcome massive anxiety, and I've taught it to probably thousands of people in different programs and courses and training. So I thought it'd be really nice this Independence Day, in a time in our country when our democracy is a little bit, maybe a lot, challenged and being tested, just like a virus tests the immune system of a body or a community. I thought it might be good for us to have some tools that we could use. So I decided to call it How to Stop Suffering and Start Causing Your Own Miracles Today. And on the 4th of July, obviously, we're celebrating Independence Day, but I turned 60 this year, and as I contemplate getting older, I kind of hear it in my own mind as Independence Dance Day. And, you know, we can be grateful for Depends because they give us freedom at a certain age when maybe we would have been chained to our own homes. So Independence Dance Day is the way I'm thinking of it. You can think of it however you want. So what we're really celebrating here today is the courage and bravery of men and women who literally changed their thinking and took action to stop a political situation which they felt stifled and oppressed by. But I just, as a devil's advocate, I'd like to have everybody in America consider, if we hadn't had the American Revolution, we would all have health care as part of the British Commonwealth. Look at Canada. Look at Australia. Would it have been so bad? I don't know. But I want to take our thoughts and the things we routinely think and play with them and turn them upside down with deep respect to patriotism and the founding fathers who sought a better life for all of us. So today, I'm not going to ask you to risk your lives, your liberty, or your property to overthrow political tyranny. I'm going to invite you to risk thinking and behaving in a way that will empower you to overthrow the inner tyranny that has been causing all of us in varying degrees to suffer at the hands of our own inner petty tyrant, our thoughts, our mind, or to quote a famous motivational speaker, Zig Ziglar, our stinking thinking, which we all have if we are human. That nagging little voice that just eats away at you day after day, night after sleepless night. What if we could learn to be free of the thoughts we cause ourselves to suffer with? And let me ask that again and deeply contemplate this once-in-a-lifetime offer for a limited time only. What if we could learn to be free of the thoughts we cause ourselves to suffer with? I say we and not you, because this is not something I've mastered yet. Very, very far from it. Yet I'm still very much working on this, and I've discovered a few simple tools that help me alleviate most of the suffering that I used to experience. And, of course, I had to look up suffering. And in the dictionary, suffering basically says pain that is caused by injury, illness, loss, etc., physical or mental or emotional pain, sufferings as feelings of pain, distress, misery, agony, oh, the words. And I don't know who said this, but the quote that I hear often is, we all experience pain. Suffering is optional. Suffering is optional. Few words have summed up the human experience so well. Physical pain may be unavoidable, but mental and emotional pain is an inside job. And because it is something we do, not something that is done unto us, it is changeable. And even just the phrase pops into my mind that we all, oh, he makes me so mad. Really? The reality is, as a 20-year hypnotherapist, is the stuff we think other people are making us feel is them doing something and us reacting, us choosing a thought process that creates a certain amount of energy that we call pain or suffering or mad or hurt or whatever. So the inside stuff is changeable if we're willing to admit that we're the one driving the bus. So today, I'm going to attempt to make three simple key points. I grew up in a church, a Presbyterian church, with a minister who was brilliant at three simple points. And he would always say, I'm going to make 3 points. And then he'd tell you what the points were. Then he'd tell you the points. Then he'd tell you what he told you. And I wanted to just channel Ron James, wherever you are, and just see what it would be like to not just wing it. So here we are. I'm going to talk about how we cause our own suffering. If we know how we do it, maybe we can learn how to stop our own suffering. And then the third point, how can we not just stop our suffering, but take it to the next level and start creating our own miracles, creating a course in our life of miracles? Instead of our own misery, how about some mastery? So how do we cause our own suffering? And I have to bring in what I call gardening theory, because in, I don't know, about 1976, my songs started getting attention and started, people were going, wow, that's really good. You should be famous, which was a trap for my ego. And the fact that I didn't know how to get the songs out, the fact that I was a massive introvert, the fact that I was probably somewhere on the autism spectrum of Asperger's. I didn't know how to do all that, and not knowing how to do it caused me pain. And it wasn't until I actually moved here to Albany and started gardening on my own, after having helped numerous girlfriends and parents over the years, resentfully helping them with their gardens. Finally, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to garden myself. I'm going to grow the stuff I want to grow. And I realized that if I planted an apple tree today, I would be unrealistic and cause myself suffering if next week I looked at the apple tree and was like, hey, how about some apples? This thing doesn't work. Let me chop this down. No, we would never chop down an apple tree a week after planting it. Not even a year. Maybe it might take 10 years for that apple tree to really generate some apples. And if we planted a walnut tree, it might take a lifetime. Whereas if we planted lettuce, we would probably have something in a week or two. Arugula, definitely a week. Arugula is just amazing. But then again, arugula doesn't last that long. It bolts. It goes to seed pretty quick. So it just was one of those aha moments, gobsmacking me in the face. It was like, oh, maybe this thing called my music that I do feel called to do, I feel called, these songs come through, I don't have a choice. They make me write them. And I realized, just last week, I realized that maybe my songwriting is a way of channeling Tourette's syndrome, because I can't keep them in. They come out, and then I don't know what to do with them. So I sing them, and then I put them in a book, and then I write another one, and eventually, who knows what will happen. But gardening theory helped me. And I thought my music was lettuce, but it was really a walnut tree. Or maybe, like the poet Rumi, who is right now the best-selling poet in the English language. Rumi, That took him 748 years. That wasn't a walnut tree. That was a redwood. That was a sequoia. And he had no clue that we would be here in 2021 quoting Rumi more than any other poet in the English language. And he didn't even write in English, so figure that one out. So in addition to unrealistic expectations, we also cause ourselves to suffer by not paying attention to reality. Like planting lettuce and not sticking around for a week or two to see it actually grow big enough so we could have a salad. Planting lettuce and then wandering off and going, oh, that lettuce didn't do anything. Well, did you look? It's there. Pay attention. Or not noticing how awesome things are right now. And there's a lot of doom and gloom on the internet that you can find at any given moment. But think about it. I have a recording studio and a movie studio in my pocket. All of us here have hot and cold running water. I once had a client who, a hypnosis client, who was, everything is horrible. I can't do this. And I was like, let me ask you a question. Do you have salt in the shaker on your table? He goes, oh yeah, I have salt in the shaker. Like I said, you didn't have to go and mine that, did you? You have people to do that for you. The salt in our shaker is evidence of so much abundance. In fact, salt used to be used as money because there wasn't enough of it to go around unless you happen to live near a salt mine. So paying attention to actual reality is part of how we alleviate our own suffering by, instead of paying attention to the lack or the hurt or the person that said this thing. My dad inadvertently suggested to a guy last week who was really hard up for money but who had all these carpentry skills, he suggested, well, why don't you, like, you could build some birdhouses and sell them at the farmer's market. And the guy was offended. I am a carpenter. And he wasn't noticing the fact that the same skills could be used in lots of different ways, and he didn't appreciate somebody pointing it out. So the reality is, this weekend, the black raspberries are ripe outside my front door. If I went out in December and got upset because there were no black raspberries for dessert, that would be causing my own suffering. So we have to pay attention to what is. We have to practice working on today's reality. And that doesn't mean we have to give up our crazy, wonderful, big, huge, outrageous dreams, just that we stop hurting ourselves by focusing on what we don't have yet. The other thing we do to harm ourselves is shoulding. Shoulding on ourselves. I'm sure you've heard this in how-to circles. Stop shooting on yourself. And that's one of the things, like, oh, I should stop shooting on myself. No, stop. And the prayer that comes to my mind is, Lord, give me patience right now. I need it now. So when I first got addicted to this whole gardening thing, I had a few aha moments. Some things we do are long-term. Some things are short-term. And other things in life, is sometimes it's medium. You don't know. And one reason I love gardening is because I kind of know what the timeline is. I know if I plant lettuce and a month later it's just sitting there not doing anything, that I probably need to replant some more. Maybe it didn't grow or something. But with this whole music thing, it's like, you know, in our culture, if you haven't made it by age 20 as a musician, you're a failure, unless you're a jazz musician, in which case, probably by your 80s, you know, you might be finally hitting your stride. So there's all these different perceptions of what is a failure, and so you'll hear it a lot in my songs, there is no such thing as failure. There are no such things as mistakes, because we don't have all the information. So I'm staring down a lot of years, 45 going on 50 years of trying to get these songs somewhere out into the world where they could do some good. And if I'd known I'd still be at it at age 60, I might have quit. So I'm glad I didn't know what was in my best interest. So how can we stop our suffering? I mean, it's good to know, okay, I should or shouldn't focus on this or that or the other thing, or but how can we stop? And again, by paying attention to present reality and not taking it personally when things turn out differently than we expected. When I realized finally that I was getting frustrated and hurt by the universe because no matter what I did to get my music out into the world, it just never resulted in what I longed for, which was to have enough people into my music so that I could fill, I don't know, a decent-sized hall. Just, you know, like the Egg here in Albany. Truthfully, it was Madison Square Garden, okay? But hey, there's still time. In reality, getting more than a dozen, okay, half a dozen, okay, three people to show up at a gig was way harder than I thought it would ever be. So I felt the pain of failure. I didn't realize the suffering part was optional. I was focusing on the wrong things. And I was not paying attention to the fact that back in 2006, I put my anxiety techniques on YouTube and thought, okay, this is how I'll build my practice. People all over the world will buy my courses on how to stop anxiety. And a week later, I went and looked, and no one had viewed it. And so I was like, this doesn't work. And I guess it was 5 or 6 or 7 years later, I said, I should check up on that. And like hundreds of thousands of people had watched that anxiety technique, and unbeknownst to me, had left hundreds of comments saying, this helped me. This was great. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know. If I'd only checked on the lettuce or the arugula or the tomatoes, or whatever plant that was. And then the same thing happened with Together We Could Change the World. It was a whole long story, and it didn't turn out the way I thought it would be. It was this whole kids musical, and it was going to go tour the country. And then one day, the Girl Scouts of America somehow featured somebody singing it, and then it just spread. And if you go to YouTube and type in Together We Could Change the World, I think I have 10 views of my version of it, but there's millions of views of all these little kids in India singing, or in Russia, or in Africa. It's all over the place. And by not paying attention to that, I caused myself pain. And when I, oh, okay, there it is. And then the next thing is, well, I haven't made any money from it. Oh, please, stop. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to focus on now, not focusing on, oh, I should have enough money from that song to pay my rent. Well, it's not happening this week. Deal with reality. So I felt like a failure. And the more I thought about it, the more it hurt until I was massively suffering. And I don't know if anybody could relate to that. Can I have an amen if any of you have ever done anything remotely like that? Okay, thank you. Whew. The other thing we can do is to give God, the universe, all that is, Allah, whatever it is out there that causes us to exist. We can give that source the benefit of the doubt. Maybe there's a plan that's so big we can't see it from our little perspective. And my favorite course from the Course in Miracles by way of Reverend Jim Fuller was the phrase, you do not know what is in your best interest. And I've quoted it here before, and I will again, because I literally use it every day. You do not know, Mark, what is in your best interest. So how about cutting yourself a little slack? How about, okay, thanks. So it's just a lovely little thing to remember. We do not have all the information, and we can remind ourselves daily of that. And again, I mentioned shooting on ourselves, and I like the phrase, feed the faith, starve the doubt. Stop believing your critical monkey mind thinking. And in fact, stop believing 98% of what you think. Most of our suffering is caused by the stuff we tell ourselves every day. And most of the stuff we tell ourselves every day is either our own internalized critical parent, or the fear of what other people might be thinking of us, when in fact they're worrying about what we're thinking about them. And so we can just stop. We can stop. And stop. So how do I do it? How do I stop this? And that's how we cause our own miracles, by accepting that we are not in charge of the when, but that we are in charge of how we think about everything in our lives. And we can choose to focus on how amazing things are and how perfect everything is in our lives leading us up to this moment. We are alive. We are alive in this glimmer, this glimpse, this micro moment in the vastness of eternity. I love the idea that we are a candle flame held up against the vastness of the universe. Yes, it's huge, but our flame still does burn brightly. So take a moment and notice your body. Isn't it great to have one? My dad, when he was young, developed a blood disease, and eventually his leg had to be amputated. And he has often said, you know, if that hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't have taken care of my health so seriously. And his, I can't remember if he has 7 or 8 brothers and sisters. I think there were 8. And so 6 of them have passed away, and it's just my dad and 1 aunt left. Because they were all healthy, and they never paid attention to their health the way he had to. And so he is still in vibrant health. He helps me every day on the farm, and we're just having a great time doing this together. But you can't say to someone who's had a great trauma or a great challenge, hey, you know, you're lucky you had that. We have to do that ourselves, and it's an inside job, and it takes courage. I think Heather Dedell once used the famous story of the farmer whose horse ran away, and the neighbor was like, oh, bad luck. The farmer's like, good luck, bad luck. Then the horse comes back with a whole herd of wild horses. And the neighbor's like, good luck, eh? And the farmer's like, yeah, good luck, bad luck. Then his son falls off one of the horses training it, and the neighbor's like, bad luck, huh? No, good luck, bad luck. And then the kicker of the story is there was a war, and because the son had a broken leg, they didn't take him to the war. Good luck, bad luck, we don't know. So we have to remember, everything that seems bad might actually be a gift. And it's a discipline, it's a challenge, and it's not something we can say to somebody else. We have to say it to ourselves. So I'm looking at the clock, and I've only got 5 or 6 hours of material more here. So I'm going to go right to the how-to. And the how-to is very, very simple. And it's a combination of something that I call an affirmation. Here at Unity, we use affirmations and repeat a phrase over and over again that helps us to kind of replace our negative thinking. And in my years of studying the mind and hypnosis, I discovered that by putting an affirmation into a why or how question, it literally engages and hooks your unconscious mind. So instead of your unconscious mind going, yeah, I don't believe it, your unconscious mind goes, really? And then begins to develop what we call an evidence procedure for that question. So my question is, why does it work out better than I can possibly imagine? So let's say, I'll say that together. Why does it work out better than I can possibly imagine? And I use it today on the way here. It's like, oh, what if I get a flat tire and I'm late? Why does it work out better than I can possibly imagine? Any negative thought that pops in the old default program, just, hey, why does it work out better than I can possibly imagine? And again, if you see someone having a bad day, this is not something you say, hey, why does it work out better than you can possibly imagine? Because they won't appreciate that. But if you can own it and ask yourself that question in a you, and a we, it all works for you. So, I have a song, and I guess I'll, where did I have the song? I don't know where I put the song. Right there. So we're going to do the song, and then we'll wrap it up. Oh, and the other piece of this is from Michael Singer, who wrote the Untethered Soul, and also the Surrender Experiment, where he started, it's kind of like the Jim Carrey movie where he just starts saying yes to everything. And he just lived an amazing life. If you ever get a chance to read The Surrender Experiment and The Untethered Soul, I suggest it. And he's like, we have all these fancy meditation techniques, but the reality is All you need to do is count to 20 while you focus on your breath. And so I count to 20, focusing on my breath, saying, one, why does it work out better than I could possibly imagine? Two, why does it work out better than I could possibly imagine? And so that's the practice that I do. And then putting it into a song. Why does it work out better than I can possibly imagine? Why does it work out better than I can possibly imagine? La da 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 da. Sing along if you want to. La da 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 da. Why does it work out better, you, than you can possibly imagine? Why does it work out better than you can possibly imagine? La da 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 da. La da 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 da. Does it work out better than we can possibly imagine? Why does it work out better than we can possibly imagine? La da 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 da. It work out better. So, by turning that affirmation into a why and a how question or a why question, and then singing it, focusing on the breath, counting to 20, we have a tool, a simple tool, to interrupt any negative emotional storm that may be causing us to suffer. And so this is the part where I tell you what I told you. We explored how we cause our own suffering, and 90% of it is how we interpret reality in a negative or self-defeating way. We explored how we can stop our suffering by owning our own thoughts and focusing on the miraculous abundance all around us. During the whole pandemic, I was like, thank God it's not Ebola. You know what I mean? Thank goodness it's not the bubonic plague. This, we can deal with this. We'll get through this. And then finally, I gave you a simple, usable, easy-to-remember tool to practice causing your own miracles. Why does it work out better than I can possibly imagine has literally changed my life, because I realized my default program was kind of the opposite of that, and I won't even give voice to that because it's toxic. And my friends, that is the path to freedom, or one path. There are many paths. Let freedom ring in your ears wherever you go. Let the miracles of being alive show up everywhere you look. Let love and deep appreciation of this gift, this miracle, manifest and expand in all directions around you and through you and in you. Peace, love, and grooviness. Amen.